this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison from Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, How Do We Prepare? Today's message is based on Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. Let us open this morning with prayer. Lord God, the words, Jesus is King, come easily to our lips, yet we often fail to grasp the significance of what they mean for us. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you gave us your Son, the beloved one, who was rejected, to save you who appeared defeated, and now we declare him King. Yet the mystery of his kingship illumines our lives. Show us in his death the victory that crowns the ages, and in his broken body the love that unites heaven and earth. And we ask this through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. So now turn in your Bibles to Galatians 4, verses 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now this is the last Sunday of November, and the next time we will begin our Advent season that leads to Christmas. Today is Christ the King Sunday, and this is one of the church holidays that many may have missed growing up, as it was initially considered only a Catholic holiday, but fairly rapidly grew to become a well-deserved holiday for all Christianity. Christ the King Feast was initiated in 1925 by Pope Pius XI as a response to the spread of secularism in the modern world and to remind the world of Jesus Christ's rule on mankind. Now, this was originally celebrated on the last Sunday of October. The holiday's origins view that Jesus Christ is the eternal ruler of the world. This truth is underlined and outlined throughout the history in gospels, novels, and art, where Jesus Christ is constantly shown as the center of compositions and is referred to in venerable, regal terms. According to legend, Jesus Christ is worshipped by all angels and mortals, and everyone is subject to him and must recognize his reign as a result of Christ's hypostatic union with all creatures on earth and beyond. Now, things have not gotten much better since then. In fact, the world is far more perverse than it was in 1925 when this holiday began. Now is not the time to set this notice aside, but to bring it far more to the forefront than ever as we more and more anticipate Christ coming in the clouds. Protestants celebrate this at the end of November, and one of the reasons this date is so fitting is because the liturgical year begins with Advent, which is the season awaiting the coming of Christ, and observing Christ the King Sunday as the end of that liturgical year celebrates and emphasizes the kingship of Christ. The church calendar actually begins 4 Sundays before Christmas. Today is the last Sunday in the year. Next Sunday is the first. But before we begin the month-long celebration of the birth of Jesus, let us acknowledge his total kingship. And we'll have a more just a little bit later. So now we return to the conclusion of our series on Galatians 4, depending heavily on Dr. Paul Elliott's Teaching the Word Ministries, and even including just a bit from our previous study in Colossians 3, 1-4, which says, if, more literally since, then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. The Apostle Paul wrote a theology-packed letter to the people who are about to lose their homes, their livelihoods, and all their worldly possessions. By divine inspiration, he gave detailed instructions on Christian living to people who would soon struggle for their very survival on earth. This seems utterly impractical, woefully ignorant, and of real need, and even callously hard-hearted. Many in today's evangelical church would not hesitate to call it sinful. But that is exactly what the Apostle Paul, at God's direction, did in his letter to the church at Colossae. In 60 AD, only about 3 years after Paul wrote this epistle to them, Colossae was destroyed by a massive earthquake. Many of its inhabitants were killed. The site of the city was eventually abandoned, and Colossae literally disappeared from the map for centuries. It wasn't until the 1830s that archaeologists rediscovered Colossae's exact location. Of course, the Apostle Paul did not know that this calamity was about to come, but God the Holy Spirit, the omniscient God who inspired Paul to write this letter, knew exactly what was about to happen. God ordained Paul's words. But did God, through Paul, instruct the Colossian believers in physical survival? Did he counsel them on how to protect their finances and worldly possessions? Did God tell them to evacuate their city or set up survival camps in the hills? No. God, through Paul, instructed the Colossian believers to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. No message could be more relevant for Christians in our time and much of the world. And this is what we need to know and rest upon in the face of calamity. Religious bookstores and websites are filled with books and videos on how to have peace by accumulating and protecting the wealth of this world. But while God's Word says there is nothing wrong with making a living and saving for the future, God also repeatedly warns us that these things are not the source of peace. Remember, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 14:27. So what is that peace? We need only look at the preceding verse. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." Verse 26. So how many of you know preppers, or have seen the TV show of how people are stocking up food and water and all things they feel they will need when the world ends? They build camps or special shelters in their homes where they are able to defend what they have that they will need to survive in this world. I freely admit some inclination in this direction, but do not consider it my first avenue of action. God's true peace is to be found in salvation through Jesus Christ and the comfort that is thereby brought to us through the indwelling Holy Spirit, as we are taught how to live and how to think by His inspired Word. Paul's fervent, continual, Spirit-inspired prayer for the Colossian believers, people about to experience the calamity of a lifetime, was this: "That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins." It is by this knowledge and this growth that the Christian may have peace in all circumstances. What is that knowledge and growth according to the Colossians? The central focus is the person, work, and preeminence of our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been said that Paul's letter to the Colossians sets forth the preeminence of Christ in a John 14:6 outline, and indeed it does. In chapter 1, Paul sets forth Jesus Christ as the way to eternal life and the source of all sufficient supply for the experiences of this present life. Colossians 1 contains the most power-packed statement of Christology to be found in the entire Word of God. In chapter 2, Paul sets forth Jesus Christ as the truth, in contrast and opposition to worldly philosophy, legalism, and man-made doctrines. God, through Paul, says, "Let no one cheat you out of your reward by entangling you in these falsehoods." That's Colossians 2:18. This potential eternal loss was in the eyes of God more vital than any temporal loss. Then in chapters 3 and 4, Paul sets forth Jesus Christ as the life, both for the life to come and the life here and now. Christ is the one who is to be preeminent in the Christian's character and conduct in the home, in the workplace, in our witness to the world, in our service within Christ's body, in everything, and in every circumstance. Paul holds forth the person of Jesus Christ as the one who is, in his very essence, the total contradiction of this present fallen and perishing world system. He holds up the wisdom of Christ as the total opposite of the way the world thinks. He holds up the life that we have in Christ as the total opposite of the condemnation the world is under. He holds up the life that we are about to live in Christ as the total opposite of the way the world lives and thinks. Paul mentions the Lord Jesus Christ in nearly every verse throughout the entire book. The book of Colossians is one continuous exposition and exaltation of the Christ in all his manifold offices and aspects, in his marvelous relationship to each and every child of God. Now, all of this was written to people who were about to lose everything the world values, and in many cases, quite probably their very lives. This, in the mind of God, was the most vital knowledge these believers could have as preparation for what was to come. The omniscient Holy Spirit exhorts them, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And that is Colossians 3:15-17. As we enter another year of growing uncertainty and potential calamity in this present evil world, may each of us truly decide with determination that the peace of Christ shall be the arbiter of all our thoughts and actions. In every situation, whether in calm or catastrophe, how is that accomplished? By deciding with determination that the word of Christ shall be at home in you in abundance. This was a literal rendering of Colossians 3:16. This is entirely counter to the world's way of thinking, but it is God's perfect way for his saints. It is the way of safety, even in the face of loss of possessions and even life itself. Yes, we should be prepared to leave this present evil world for a new one of unending righteousness, but we must give up struggling to make our own way out. We must submit to God's way out. There is no other way. The knowledge that brings true peace is not to be found in the false wisdom of this world, but in genuine wisdom found only in Christ through his word, by the illumination of the indwelling Spirit. Do not look to newspaper headlines for answers. Make it your resolve in this coming year to grow ever deeper in the superabundant, all-sufficient, ever-practical wisdom that comes through the study of his inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Now, we have been discussing the fullness of times, which describes when Christ will come again. What are believers to be doing until it happens? In the same way God continues to move and shape billions and billions of details, his clockwork. People and nations, moving events in all their complexity toward the decisive climatic moment when his Son will come the second time. Not in humiliation, but in glory. Not to give himself as a sacrifice for our sins, but to once and for all deliver his people and the entire creation from the bondage of sin and corruption. This is a great reset like no other, ushering in believers' external state, ruling and reigning with the Lord in glory. We do not know precisely when that decisive moment will be, but God has commanded us to be watchful and to prepare. Paul wrote saying, "But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on our breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet to hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. That is in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5. But then Jesus also warns us in Luke 21, "But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that they might come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare for on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, to stand before the Son of Man." And again from Matthew 24, Jesus says, "But on that day and hour no one knows, not even the heavens, angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Then if we turn to 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, in which righteousness dwells." So in the fullness of time, at the perfect, decisive moment in God's all-wise, eternal plan, Jesus came the first time. And at the perfect, decisive moment in God's all-wise and eternal plan and dispensation of the fullness of times, Christ will come again. We do not understand all that he is presently doing. We see this world system accelerating its headlong plunge toward global ruin. But even in the midst of such circumstances, we can be confident that Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, reigning until he has put all his enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15. Let us never doubt that the omnipotent God of the universe, our Lord and Savior, is in control of all things, orchestrating all events toward the end goal of that glorious day. He will not leave any loose ends. No great reset by man under the sway of Satan will thwart or even alter the smallest detail of God's plan for the ages. Our God-given imperative is to occupy ourselves with Christ's business for us in this world, preaching the gospel to all, building up the saints in sound doctrine, while maintaining an attitude of watchful anticipation of Christ's imminent return. Now, on the cover of today's bulletin, we have a passage for Christ the King Sunday from Matthew 25. This is verses 31 through 40. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will then answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, insomuch as you did it to the one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So how can we claim Christ as our king when we do not trust him with our lives? How can we claim him when we refuse to live as he has commanded? Would an earthly king permit such disobedience as we commit in this world today? Jesus reminds us in this passage that as king, there will come a time of judgment. You must decide if you will be counted among the sheep or the goats, placing those that truly love him and live for him on his right, while all the others, those who despise him, deny him, or even worse, acknowledge him outwardly but refuse to follow him in truth. In this passage from Matthew, Christ is clearly shown as king. But is he truly king in your hearts? This lesson leads us to Advent, the season of preparation, so that we also much need to be seriously working. If we continue to just let life slip along carelessly, we are in for a sudden and severe surprise. So how do we prepare? As if today is a decisive moment when the fullness of time is at hand. Prepare by study of God's Word, where we will find all the answers, by striving to live as well as we can to be in sync with God's will, by loving and leading others to Christ. Amen. So let us close today with our benediction. Jesus says, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priest, serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 a.m. for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed a message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Reigns. You can also find the video of our messages on our website. This is from Christ Reigns Church, www.crpchurch.com.